you want to get started with the updates?
Sure.
Maybe you can talk about the paper updates and then...
Okay. So, what I did last week, I should say this weekend, was to do a revision of the design and implementation section to update with the current implementation that we have, right? So we removed some things, changed other things, and just updated that on that section. And then I start populating the evaluation section, for which I added one graph and one table. So the graph is for the memory latencies, and the table is for the execution times of the experiment, right? That's what I remember so far. There was something else I did, but I don't remember.
The design section?
I already mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Yeah, anyway, I there was something I did between Wednesday and Friday, but I don't remember.
Okay, so did you see my message?
About the latency.
About the latency.
Right, so, I mean, we can do that. That will take more space. That was one of the issues. And another issue is that showing that only shows how bad is our system, but it doesn't really show that in most of the cases it's good, right?
Okay. So right now, what's my understanding about those box plugs that you have there, correct?
Correct. So they are a normal box plug,
okay.
Which is minimum.
Hi, Ricardo. Okay, we can hear you now. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Okay. There was minimum, second, third percentile, maximum. Right. I also have the number of the median, but for some reason I forgot to plot that.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's something I need to add.
So you had quartile values in that box plot?
I had quartile values. That's right.
Right.
So the only difference is that the maximum is huge, right,
mm-hmm.
compared in our system compared to the
right.
memory only case.
Yeah, so well, my comment was that that's not giving sufficient information in some sense, because...
what you're saying is that people want to know is how quickly the system...
Yeah, in some sense it doesn't tell a reader what fraction of the memory requests suffer high latency.
Right.
And how much is that?
I see. I had a comment, I guess it's not enough, but I had a comment saying that these high values are not very frequently, and there is only, in average, there is only 3% of the requests with response time higher than 9 microseconds.
Mm. So if you present what I was suggesting, which is 90th, 95th, 99th, and then max, then that information will be in the graph. But and it will take the same amount of space if you do a stacked plot, right?
Yeah, things that, you mean it should be something similar to the call language?
Yes.
Yeah, but that graph was really hard to get. And I'm guessing this one is harder.
But I guess...
It's probably the same, right?
I mean, if you've done the other one, then maybe you can reuse your same scripts to get numbers for this one. I mean, regardless, I think this graph is insufficient in some sense. I mean, we'll have to talk about, for instance, what is those percentage of requests for each application that suffer high latencies in the text, which would probably take space as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just showing median 75th and max values. we sort of missing this very important range for us, which is between 75 and max.
And 100.
Which is where the interesting data is.
I see. Okay. But then,
I have this question on severe six. So the order slash conservative, what does that mean?
Why is figure six, the box?
Yeah.
So what is the question again?
What does order slash conservative mean?
Oh, those are the replay mode, right? So we have order,
yeah,
conservative, and...
But there is only one bar, right? So is it for order or is it for conservative?
Right. The thing is that in terms of latency, the ordered and conservative are the same, right? Because it's... they incur in the same, let me see. The thing is that both of them are synchronous, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if both page faults are synchronous, then they at the end will have the same latency.
Okay.
Right? Does that make sense?
I mean, it does make sense if... I mean, theoretically it makes sense, but practically, if you are putting in gaps, so maybe banks get switched on, switched off, something like that. I mean, do you see that happening, or?
The thing is that I don't run the conservative experiment, right? Because I have all the information to derive the conservative results from the ordered mode results.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, the only reason I'm saying is that in order and conservative, you're changing the throughput that the memory subsystem is serving just because your execution time might change a very small amount, but it changes. So memory latencies, I'm not sure if they're always going to behave the same in spite of throughput changes.
I think for that we have to go back to the definitions of ordered and conservative. So, Lewis, maybe you can use your definition to explain why these numbers need to be the same.
Right. So, well, in the case of the ordered, we when we have a page fault, we serve the page fault synchronously, right? And then what we do is to try to catch up in the simulator so that we I don't know how to explain this. So we end up in the let me see. We replay as fast as it's possible to catch up with the current simulated time, right?
Yeah, I think the definition that you wrote is easier to explain, right? If you look at your own definition.
What do I mean by the latency? Between references or not. Just trace the event timestamp. It's used during replay. Pass access at a short period to that time. An independent conservative, assuming about the ordering and latency. Between reference and invariant. Okay. Just trace the event timestamp and not up.
Yeah, so let me rephrase what you just said. So, I mean, I see that in some sense you're saying that, okay, if all previous accesses are over, then you're going to make a request for it. Otherwise, you're going to wait in order. Whereas in conservative, you just completely discard the original timestamp.
Uh-huh.
And any latency that you get is going to get added up, right? So
exactly.
That's basic,
yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
So that's fine. What I'm saying is, is a real system actually that nice and well behaved that it's actually going to preserve the same thing? I mean, I know in some sense you think that this request is independent of all the previous requests because we're making sure that this finished before I send this request. But if I were to serve 5 requests at a very high speed and then serve this 6th request versus if I were to serve the previous 5 in a scattered manner and then I serve the 6th, is the memory subsystem going to behave identical? Because it's actually a fairly complex system, right? Switching times and all that, which I don't know how exactly they behave. I mean, theoretically, I can see that they should be same, but in practice, I mean, they may not be always identical. I mean, I don't have any reason to say they won't be, I mean, I cannot be sure. That's what I'm saying. Just that.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot be sure.
I guess we are making an assumption that a sequence of requests, regardless of the inter-request time, will have the same latency profile.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's an assumption we are making. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe we should spell that out in the paper.
Mm-hmm. I see what you mean.
When we talk about the ordered versus...
But, I mean, that shouldn't have a difference, right? But what could happen if you change the inter-request waiting time?
I mean, you can for sure see that in a disk, it will not be same, right? It may. Even in a disk, you go somewhere and it should be fine. But... Okay, let's go ahead. I don't think that's very important, but...
I guess in an SSD, I think you're referring to an SSD, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm actually referring to a disk, but in a disk it's okay, because there you are fine. But in an SSD, actually, it's not absolutely clear, because there's some background activity happening.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and in a disk also, it's not, this doesn't hold because your platter is continuously rotating, so where you are right now might dictate a different rotational position and those kinds of things. But I guess here we are talking about SSDs, and with SSDs there is background activity that affects the latency, and if there is more inter-request delay, there might be a smaller effect, and perhaps it could even be more, right? But in some sense, that is an assumption that we are making, certainly. For memory, it's probably true, but for the SSD, it may not be true.
Uh-huh.
And we're using the same latencies, right?
Yeah.
And which one did you actually run, the conservative or the ordered?
The ordered.
The ordered. Okay, so the ordered is the more, in some sense...
accurate.
Well, I don't know if it's accurate or not, but the latencies that I'm guessing we'll get with conservative
mm-hmm.
will be better than the latencies we get with ordered. Because with conservative, the inter-request delays are going to be the same or higher than the ordered.
I see. Okay, so...
That makes sense. So ordered, we can probably say conservative will be
mm-hmm.
at least not worse.
Not worse than that, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to put that assumption
yeah.
in and this observation as well. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Okay, so
We don't have the power numbers as yet, right? Just 6 and 7.
That's another thing I wanted to talk. I was trying to get some numbers, and actually got some numbers, but my problem is that it turns out that for some reason, for all workloads, I'm having less than 1% of the cycles for reading or writing to memory. So it seems like our workloads actually don't access too much memory or something like that. So I actually was thinking that there are a couple of explanations. I have some numbers in the maximum bandwidth that affect these percentages, and I don't remember how I got those numbers, but they seem reasonable. So in the case of the read, it was something like 2,000 megabytes per second, and in the case of the write, it was something like 1,000 megabytes per second.
That's the max.
That's the max bandwidth of the memory.
Yeah, but what we are looking for is an average bandwidth, which is going to tell you the percentage of cycles that are doing read or write.
Right.
So do you remember our conversation from Thursday?
Right, but I thought that would be compared to the maximum bandwidth.
The maximum. So this is a percentage of cycles when there is reading or writing, correct?
Right.
So how is it related to the maximum?
What I was thinking is that so the maximum bandwidth will indicate how much accesses can you do in a period of time. Right. So
maximum bandwidth of the
memory.
Of the memory.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So with that number, then you can say, okay, we can have this number of cycles.
Right.
Or.
And then you need the average bandwidth of the workload, though, to calculate the percentage of cycles where the workload is doing read or write.
Well, the way we're doing it, we don't need that because we have the number of cycles.
Mm-hmm.
The number of cycles to run the experiment.
Okay.
And the number of reads and
the number of reads and the number of writes, exactly. So based on those things, you can calculate how many cycles per word you need, right?
Yeah, but this is cache line granularity.
Right. So actually, yeah, the word is 64 bytes. Mm-hmm. 64 bytes in the cache line, right?
Mm-hmm. And did you sort of do the sanity check that we talked about?
Yes, and they seem well. The sanity—I did the sanity check this way, just to check if that is correct. What I did was to calculate the bandwidth requirement for some workloads.
The average bandwidth.
The average bandwidth, which would be the total number of accesses divided by the total number of seconds.
Total number of accesses multiplied by the cache line
by
size.
By the cache line size, yeah.
Divided by total time.
Yeah, divided by the total time in seconds.
Okay.
So it turns out that gave me some numbers like 100 megabytes per second, or like that. That after you compare it with 2,000, is less than 1%.
How did we get the 2,000 megabytes per second value?
That's what I don't remember. But I'm guessing
that would be through LMBench. I
think so. Yeah, I think I didn't use LMBench, but it was something else. Yeah, but what it does is it's just a micro benchmark that I guess do sequential reads or random reads or something like that, and then calculate the number of megabytes per second.
Do you multiply that by a cache line over there?
I didn't do the micro benchmark. I just downloaded the micro benchmark.
Yeah, but 2,000 actually is a reasonable number. In fact,
VDS3
should also even have higher. So
which one is, which machine is the workloads run on? I guess Ricardo should have that information.
Yeah.
Ricardo, which machine are you collecting the traces at?
Foxy.
Okay.
Two gigahertz machine.
Oh. Okay. This is one of those big memory machines, right?
Yes.
Okay. And do you know the memory bandwidth for this machine?
No, but I remember that it gave us some numbers.
For Puppy?
Yes. I remember what were the numbers.
Okay, then.
The other thing is that we are. So we also need the.
Well, he gave information about stored.
So. They're the same,
so it says 667 megahertz memory bus. And is it, I guess it's a 64-bit?
Yeah, 64.
So how much does that work out to?
So it would be one line. Actually, that depends on what kind of DDI it is, but it would be somehow one line cycle for memory.
And yeah, and I don't know how many cycles you need for one transfer.
About
4 or 5?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
So I have one basic question, an architectural question. Why? If you have a memory that has certain frequency, right? So why can't you transfer a complete word in one cycle?
You can.
You can.
Yeah, but there is control and all that also needs to happen, right?
In the same bus.
Not the same bus, but on a timeline.
Yeah.
I see.
So after you transfer one, you need to tell the memory what to transfer next.
Okay,
and all those.
I see. Those overhead.
Yeah. So the effective number of cycles that you need to transfer one
is higher than one. I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it's more complex than that, of course, because you can transfer.
Because it's always more complex.
Yeah. So 2000 is actually not a bad number. I've also run LMBAR bench on some of my reasonably low end machines, and there also I was easily getting a couple of thousand, 3,000, 4,000. So
megabytes or megabits?
Megabytes.
Okay. Yeah, so my calculation here tells me that it's about 1,300 megabytes per second if we assume 4 cycles for a transfer.
Okay. So I think the problem is more in the kind of applications we pick. So almost everything is more or less DB intensive, right? IO intensive, disk intensive.
Okay, let's look at them. I think there is a description of these benchmarks somewhere in the beginning of the page.
Yeah, there's boot page 2.
Yeah. So, boot, I don't think we have boot.
No, we don't.
We don't have boot. Okay, LMBench. We have that?
No.
Oh, we have that.
Yeah, but LMBench is the one that we should put in, because that's the one that's going to give us those high bandwidth numbers, high percentage. And SpecPower also is much higher in any bandwidth than Rubies and all. So once you put that, it may probably be somewhere in between.
Okay. Well, at this point, we had some problems with the spec power traces, but at this point, I will try again today. I'm waiting for some other experiments to be done. So,
Luis?
Yeah.
So at the end, I mean, when you subtract the minimum of the physical answer for spec powers.
Yeah, it now makes sense. Yeah. I mean, now it makes sense.
Now it makes sense.
Yeah, so I have to repeat the experiments. The only thing that was really weird yesterday is that while I was running the experiment, for some reason they were really, really slow. It seems like the timestamp is wrong or something like that. But there was this experiment that wasn't even 1% complete, and was about 1,400 minutes, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they should last 5 or 8 minutes.
Right. So multiply that by 2, and then we should have one experiment done. Anyway, so, yeah.
Could it be possible? Did you look at the page fault hit ratio? That everything is a page fault?
No, actually it wasn't. The SSD was mostly idle.
Mm-hmm.
So
some other explanation is that these places have those, you know, that transformation are made to the timestamp. Thing you were talking about last time on your office.
Say that again?
You know that we have this problem with the timestamp of the traces, which I explained to you before on the Rajiv's office.
Yes.
So these places are with that new code, so maybe one of those timestamps are. Maybe it's a negative, which is really big or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, that could be one problem.
Yeah, so let me check that.
Yeah. Well, in any case, I will run those experiments again. Right now, I'm running some other experiments is to measure the erase count on the SSD to compare.
I have another question. When you process the traces instead of the simulation, to make quick checks like not going to the bath, something like that?
No.
Could you add that little check?
Yeah, I guess I can. Okay. I can do that.
Because maybe it's going to the bath, and that's why.
Okay, I will check that.
Okay.
So you mean there is a wraparound or overflow?
Maybe there is an overflow, or maybe one consecutive set of events is going in reverse in time.
Okay.
Well, I mean, why would that happen? I mean, make that happen?
I don't know, but I mean, the only reason I'm seeing for an event to wait indefinitely is that it's waiting for something that's never going to happen. Maybe something that's before or something. Maybe. That code is a little messy, so there could be a bug.
I see. Okay. Yeah, so the sanity checks, okay.
I mean, the thing I explained you was just subtracting the number that really the logical view of it, because there are many functions. It's really to get bugs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So these are all the new traces that you got these numbers with, the latency numbers, or?
What do you mean the new traces?
The new traces with the where the timestamp got fixed.
No, because Ricardo didn't do the new traces with the new timestamp, so these are
the old ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but you're doing the new traces with the new timestamps for spec power.
But till now, it's just for
No, for spec power, he already did it.
Okay.
Okay. So I already have the traces. So what we are discussing is that probably the timestamp is off.
Okay. So it makes sense for some sanity checks to be done before we move on. Okay. Okay, so, well, the other comment I had was we need to get actual memory bandwidth numbers for Puppy, because that's the machine on which all of these experiments
are. Yeah, I think the bandwidth that I got was from the machine where we run these experiments.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Okay. So you're...
You mean that we are actually getting the link for memory bandwidth of Puppy?
Yes, right?
I'm sorry, what is your question, Ricardo?
I mean, do you think we are exceeding the memory, the limit memory bandwidth for Puppy?
We are exceeding that?
No, no, that's not what we're saying.
We're reaching the limit?
No, what we're saying is that we need that maximum bandwidth in order to calculate the power consumption.
Yes, but... This is a simulated machine. I mean, any memory will make it, right?
No, but those memory axes are on the real machine. Isn't that how QMO works?
Yes, but with these memory axes, we could say the power would be something on memory system X, or the power would be something else on memory system Y, and that would be... a correct assumption, right?
Unless
the memory system cannot serve that amount of memory access.
No, I don't think so. For power consumption, remember that because you're doing memory accesses on Puppy and you're taking timestamp measurements based on how quick memory accesses are on Puppy, your traces... are going to be different if you run it. Your timestamps will be different if you run it on a different machine.
But only if we hit the maximum memory throughput, right?
Not necessarily. Because if your memory axes are faster, then your latencies are going to be lower and your timestamp would change.
If your bandwidth is higher, then you, each memory access will require less cycles.
Yeah, and it's also safer to use the same memory.
I think it's not just safe, it's also correctness. I think we need to use Puppy's memory bandwidth only.
Okay.
And that's what you have, Louis, right?
Yes, I think that's what I have.
Okay.
I think that's exactly what I did.
So the problem that you are having, or the observation that you are having, is that only less than 1% of the memory cycles are being used by the workloads.
Yes. I mean, less than 1% of the cycles are used to access the memory for all workloads.
Mm-hmm.
So then could be the memory bandwidth, it could be... that we are not using the right workloads. What else?
Yeah, so even if you look at figure 3, I mean, the peak for these workloads goes to about 100 Mbps. So it's more of a workload issue.
Figure 3. Yeah, exactly. So in figure 3, the bandwidth is really... low compared to the maximum, right?
Yeah. The question is this a representative set of
bandwidth? Exactly, because the other thing is that this is called bandwidth. This is the bandwidth that goes to the
SSD. So the question is, what is the memory bandwidth?
Yeah, so probably doesn't make any sense.
So even the code bandwidth, well, what is the average code bandwidth?
It could be that actually, we shouldn't use an average, but we should rather use something else, like the maximum bandwidth in the workload or something like that.
Yeah, power, you're using the average bandwidth, so it's going to be even less than what we see.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, is that correct? Or I think,
That because we are looking more at this whole long-term behavior, right? Instantaneous.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure instantaneous power makes a lot of sense here. It's, everything that you measure power with will never give you less than 1 second. So.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so just looking at this figure 3 is not correct.
No, it's not correct because that's the bandwidth to the SSD. So.
So the total bandwidth to memory should be higher than this.
Should be a lot higher,
mm-hmm.
supposedly. Yeah, because we are. It should be a lot higher because if we have something like a 90% heat ratio,
mm-hmm.
that means that we have more or less.
And you have those numbers, right? You already calculated those numbers. Which is the average bandwidth?
For all workloads, yeah.
For all workloads?
I did. For the memory only workloads.
For the memory only.
Yeah.
And those were all also less than 1%
at
the peak?
No, you know what? I actually didn't check that. So if you can you do a situation
searching? Sure.
Because I already have those numbers calculated.
Yeah. That's, I think, the most relevant number for this. So why don't you collect that information?
Okay, I will.
And then we can communicate over email.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so what's next, Lewis? What?
I guess that was the most important thing I wanted to discuss, the power thing. So other than that, I just want to tell you what I'm doing for the evaluation section.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out that I thought I had most of the numbers, but I didn't.
Hmm.
So right now we need some numbers to calculate the effectiveness of each of the segment selection algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
To know how many erase
mm-hmm.
or what is the variance between the erasures of all segments to check the word leveling.
Okay.
And so what I'm doing is that since Ruby's all, I think, was the one that had has the highest number of segment erasures, then I'm running Ruby's all again with all the segment selection algorithms we have. So now I will check. I don't remember what I said there, but I guess the idea is to check the variance between the segment erasures to see how is the word leveling working.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's with respect to erasures, and what else was.
So Ruby's all does write the entire SSD once.
I didn't check that, but well, actually it should because it's doing some cleaning, right?
Okay.
I mean, if it has some at least one erasure, it means that it completely or broke the whole SSD.
So in this box plot, do we have in numbers for static allocation?
For static allocation.
In figure 6.
I see. For the Stroman.
Yeah, for the Stroman.
We have that at least for one workload, I guess. I think for Ruby's all we have that.
At some point, we have to sort of measure against the static.
That's true.
Which might be, maybe this is the best workload. Maybe this is the best experiment to show that as well.
Yeah, I can also show it in the comparison of the of the segment selection algorithms, probably here in the flash word leveling.
But there is no segment selection in the static.
There's no segment selection, that's true.
The main problem with the static is the performance.
Yeah. Right? That's true. So I can then probably add an additional paragraph here.
Mm-hmm.
And an additional graph, because I think this graph is way too crowded.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, okay, I can add that.
Yeah, we need to have some data to show for comparison.
Yeah, that makes sense.
With the static allocation.
Okay. Yeah, the only thing I'm missing here is a comparison with different memory sizes.
Mm.
So, the latency with different memory sizes. So, I think I have that for HSQLDB, but we can also do it with something else, like Rubies, for
instance. Yeah, I mean, ideally we should do that with spec power, whenever we are able to get that going.
Yeah, that's probably why I've been in...
But for now, I would recommend that you use the same benchmark for doing all of these...
Sensitivity
analysis for different approaches,
yeah,
and different sizes.
Okay,
and
so that makes sense. So right now what I'm doing is using RubySolve, which I think is fine because it's one of the busiest workloads we have.
That's fine, yeah.
So, okay.
So just use that and not switch between two workloads.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Okay,
so, and this one you're going to change to a percentile, the median 80th, 90th, and something like that.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that will give more information,
okay,
more relevant information for the performance overhead. And then there are these execution time numbers.
Yes, that's execution time radius with respect to the original memory-only workload,
mm-hmm,
right? Well, in the case of the order, it's all one, so I actually was thinking if we should write that or not.
What about the, maybe you should put for the independent mode also.
That's the thing, that
on
the independent mode we have the execution time
is the same.
Is the same, right? Because they're all asynchronous. So it really doesn't matter.
I was thinking that it might be a good idea to put that anyway, just for clarity, put it in the table because we have ordered, conservative, independent in this graph.
Then what we can do is to change it to order and independent.
Ordered slash independent?
Yeah, because it's exactly the same.
Okay. Yeah, it's fine. And I would also recommend to use the same abbreviations here and here. So O.
Okay.
And O here.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So the other thing which I wanted to talk about was the motivation section. So Ricardo, I think this week we need to get it done. And I think now you're also relatively more free. So you should
yes,
finalize those graphs in the motivation section. And let me know so I can do a revision afterwards to make
okay,
sure that everything is
yeah,
in place and consistent.
Yeah, we don't need more experiments for that. All the numbers
are all the numbers are there, I guess, and the only thing that needs to be done is to add all the right graphs that we
yes,
discussed in a few meetings back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so So yes. When do you want to give me that motivation section?
Let's make it for next Monday.
Next Monday? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So if you can do, let's say, next Sunday, then we could have, I could sort of work on it over the weekend on Sunday, and then
okay.
we'll sort of be able to discuss the finalized motivation section next week.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Okay. So
okay.
Try to wrap it up by Sunday so I can do a quick revision before Monday.
Okay.
Okay, so today we are, what date it is today? 17, 18?
No idea.
19. Wow. Okay, so time is flying, right?
Yes.
And
so this Friday we have only 2 weeks.
Okay. The deadline is May 7th, but of course we don't want to work until the last minute, right? We want to have a version a few days earlier so that we can all do a much better job at the writing of the paper. So let's try to get everything done ahead of time, as much as possible.
Okay.
Okay, what else?
I have a question about the memory bandwidth for Puppy. So you mean to calculate the number using the what they gave us, or do you mean to get it experimentally?
We have to get it experimentally because what Eric gave us is incomplete information. We cannot get the memory bandwidth.
Okay.
Because we don't know how many cycles per transfer.
Okay. Okay.
So we need to get that bandwidth number from Puppy. I think Lewis already did that.
I think so, yeah. That's the numbers I have, but I don't remember the details.
You might want to look into
it
and confirm that you have the numbers, and if not, we have to...
Yeah. The thing is that I remember that I have some problems with LM Bench, and I download some old work... benchmark, and then I measured that in some machine that I think was Puppy, because that's where the experiments were done, right?
Now that I think about it, it sort of makes sense to run that benchmark inside QAMO instead of running it directly on the machine.
Yes, actually, yes. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
And see what bandwidth we see.
That makes sense.
So that might be more accurate than just directly running on Puppy.
Yeah, actually more accurate.
For last little problem is that it seems that on QM we have we have the regular timer, right? The regular timer for the ticks of the OS, the interrupt-based timer.
Okay.
And we have the time from the ESC, the time counter register.
Yeah.
And the thing is that this time shift we need, to remove the time we spend on the, on doing the tracing. I was only able to subtract on the TSP register, but I'm not able to do that on the timer itself, on the interface timer. So
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
The thing is that the time we will get, the time the benchmark will think it has, I think it will be incorrect. The time inside QEMU is incorrect, but the time we have on the traces is correct. That's what I'm saying.
So what you're saying is that running the benchmark inside QEMU will give a random number.
No, not a random number. It would be a little inflated time.
Inflated?
Yes.
So it takes more time inside QMO than really?
Yes. So the bandwidth we will see inside QMO will be lower than the actual bandwidth we will have also inside QMO.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm able to explain it.
I think I understand what you're saying. To rephrase, I guess the bandwidth that the application sees is not the one that you will measure inside QMO. If you measure the bandwidth inside QMO because of the funky timing problems, you will measure a wrong bandwidth.
The time the benchmark will see is based on the interrupt phase timer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that timer is wrong because it's also included the tracing time.
But isn't the time, the real time, that inside QMO, if you look at the TSC, so QMO doesn't look at TSC, is what you're saying?
No, it looks at TSC, but the way the timers are implemented are using a regular Unix alarm.
Mm-hmm.
So that means the timer time is based on the host.
Mm-hmm.
And that's inflated. Because that's also considered location time.
So wait a second. So what you're saying is that the problem is because of all the codes you have included in QMO?
Yes, pretty much.
So what you're saying is that if you run the benchmark in a vanilla QMO, won't have that problem?
No, you will also have that problem, but not as inflated as we have it with the tracing.
Mm-hmm. What if you trace the...
But yes, that's true. We could trace it on vanilla QMO, and it will be closer to a real number.
Okay. My original suggestion was to run it in vanilla QMO. But now I'm thinking maybe you should run it with your tracing and calculate the memory bandwidth from the traces instead.
Mm.
Oh, actually,
yeah.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Because your traces have the correct time, right?
Yeah.
And how would you calculate the bandwidth the same way you count the number of accesses divided by the total time.
We need some benchmark, some program that makes as much react per second as possible. So we'll have the trace and we just have to count them, right? Good time.
Exactly. So what is that benchmark? LM bench?
The benchmark will be I think Luis wrote some micro benchmark or I don't know if a big loop of looking on a large array more than the SD cache will make it, I'm not sure.
I guess it should, right? I mean, it has to be a long running experiment maybe. So initialization and all of that.
But there are benchmarks that do that already, so we don't have to come up with
one.
I did the other day was I remember that I had some problems with LM Bench, and what I did was to Google something like memory bandwidth benchmark, and I found a very simple code that already did that, so probably you can do something similar.
Okay, yeah.
I guess this is fairly urgent, right?
For us
to get all the power numbers.
Yeah, So if you can get it for today or tomorrow or something like that, would be really nice, because I need to calculate the power to make the graph.
Yeah, so I'll Google something right now, get the benchmark, run it, give it to you in maybe half an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, and it might be a good idea while you're doing that to also get the QMU times, right, apart from your tracing times, to see how different they are. And that might give us, if one of those is completely wrong, it will also provide some sanity checking.
I don't get it. Well, can you explain it again?
No, what I was going to suggest is that, yeah, apart from the times that you, apart from the bandwidth that you compute from your tracing, you can also compute the bandwidth inside QMO directly and see how different they are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we know how, you know, how much different the QMO numbers are from what we think are the correct numbers.
Okay. So I use funny machine, right?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Actually, see what you mean. Yeah, for comparison, I guess you're saying that we should use vanilla QMO, and I think you're right. Yeah. So have the benchmark run on vanilla QMO as well as your instrumented version, and then we can compare those bandwidth numbers from the traces and with vanilla QMO.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
What else? Okay. So we can. So do you want to meet? I guess next Monday. Next Monday, everyone is okay, right?
Yeah. So we also have a meeting on Thursday.
Yeah, we have an offline meeting on Thursday.
Yes.
And then, in terms of writing, I guess, Akshat, you can now maybe do a revision on section that was revised. Section 5, I guess.
I think 7 was also, 6 and 7.
6 and 7 also?
Yeah, it was 6, memory data replacement, and 7. I think 5, 6, and 7, actually, they're mostly complete, right?
5, 6, and 7. Yeah, I guess for 7, we said that we need to make some changes, discuss some of those assumptions and...
Okay, I see.
And then, but maybe Akshat can take a look at 5 and 6. 6 actually is fairly small right now. So it's sort of a little awkward as a section. And there is one subsection in there. Akshat, if you can take a look at it and maybe you can... think about some modifications to the structure as well. I think 4, 5, and 6 are the ones that we can sort of finalize and maybe restructure. So that
one comment was we are like seriously over limit, so what is the point at which we start to cut down?
My recommendation is let's make it complete, and then we can start condensing stuff, because some of this information is not critical and can be discarded right away, but more realistically, we might have to condense everything.
Okay.
So what I would like us to do is to have everything in the paper in a complete form, and maybe in the last week we can start the condensing process.
Mm-hmm.
So for now, let's not worry about the page limit. Because once we have everything, then we can sort of make judgments as to what is more important than the other, and what, you know, to make sure that we have all the information that we might possibly need.
Mm-hmm.
In at least the first words. Okay.
By the way, I found a benchmark and I pasted the link. That's the one I'm about to use.
Streambench.org?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
The first link I got, so you good.
Yeah, looks fairly straightforward, and they claim that it's the de facto industry standard benchmark also. So yeah, we should give it a try and see what we get.
Okay. So I'll get the traces, and so you can calculate the bandwidth on it?
It's fine, yeah.
The only thing is that if the stream bandwidth has sort of idle time, or if it writes to memory in some part of the benchmark at reduced speed or something like that, then using the traces alone from, you know, using something like, okay, end time minus start time.
Mm-hmm. Divided by the total time.
Divided, total number of axes divided by end minus start time is probably not the right number. So we need to make sure that there is continuous access to the DRAM in any benchmark that we use, right?
And apparently it tries to guess the size of the cache, so it makes some trials.
But
we are using the semi-directory cache, so that won't be there for the trial mode.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be more challenging to get the benchmark bandwidth than just downloading some benchmark and running it. Maybe the answer is to just create a large array and walk through that. But even creating a large array would take time, right?
I'll check this code and see what's doing.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's just looping an array. It's never that simple.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, you could also do something like, okay, take a small section of the trace and calculate bandwidth for each section and then take the max of that.
Mm-hmm.
Something of that kind. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. So, anything else? Okay. In that case, we'll meet next week, same time. So we are done for today.
Right.
Okay.
All right, bye guys. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so it seems like things are going well. We need to wrap it up soon.
Yes.
Right? And I'm fairly positive that we should be able to have a good summation.
Yeah, me too.